Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Pei. We are holding on the last two words of the page on daf. Ayin Tesem Bezad Amar Rava. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is as follows. First, we're going to give the third approach to how to deal with the machlokas that we had about what you do when there's a mixture of people who are chayav emisa. Because on the one hand, we had an opinion of the Tanakama that you can't kill any of them, and then the second opinion was Rabbi Yehuda, who said on the keeper that they're all going to end up dying. So it's very difficult to imagine that we're talking about a case where one person who's chayiv misa is mixed in with a bunch of innocent people. How could it be that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that they're all going to end up dying, that you should put them all in a keeper and starve them all to death? So we have three approaches to how to reconcile that, to understand what the case even is. So we had the first two yesterday. Today we're going to have the third approach, that of Rava. First, Rava's rejection of the first two approaches, and then Rava's third approach. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, what about the Vlad of a Shor that killed somebody? Does the Vlad take on the same status as its mother, and it's also Chayiv Skila? Or do we say, no, the Vlad is independent, and the Vlad's not Chayiv Skila? What are we talking about? The Vlad was conceived and born when? When the mother did this killing? Was the Vlad inside the mother? Was the Vlad not yet conceived? So the Gemara is going to get into some detail to figure out the case and the halacha of a Vlad of a Sharaniskal. Then the Gemara Nam Beis is going to talk about the principle or the question of whether Musra L'davar Chamar having Musra L'davar Kal. If a person receives Hasra'a for a more Chavardika Aveira, do we assume that incorporated or included in that Hasra'a is also a less Chamor Onesh, and therefore we can give him the lesser Onesh, and he's considered to be forewarned. The Gemara is going to then talk about whether when we say Hanisqalin Binisrafin, should that be reversed? Should it be Hanisrafin Binisqalin? Meaning, what's the majority? Is the majority when there's a mixture of people Chayiv Skila and people Chayiv Sreifa, what's the case? Is the majority the people who are Chayiv Skila, or is the majority the people that are Chayiv Sreifa? And that conversation and the way it plays out is going to lead us into a basic halacha about how one should speak to their father when they disagree with their father. They think that their father is going against the halacha, and they want to inform their father that they're what the halacha is. So that discussion brings us all the way to the Mishnah on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. So let's begin again. We're at the last two words on Daf Ayin Tes on Beis. So Amar Rava. Rava rejects both of the interpretations that we had. I Hachi. If we're talking about, again, two interpretations were that it wasn't about human beings. It was about oxen. The machlokas was about oxen that were mixed together. Or we were talking about a case where one known rotzeach was mixed in with a bunch of other rotzchim. So if either of those two interpretations were correct, Hainu Diktani Allah, the Braisa adds on to the Mishnah and says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Afilu Abba Chalafta Beinayan, that which we said the halacha is in the Mishnah, that if they all get mixed in, that they're all going to be potter, that's true even if Abba Chalafta, who is a great chassid and someone who's known for his chassidus, even if he was one of them. He was one of the people that we were mesupuk about. So first of all, you see that we're talking about people, that we're not talking about oxen, because if it was a bunch of oxen, Abba Chalafta could not possibly be one of them. So Reish Lakish is rejected. What about Shmuel's interpretation, that it was a Rotzeach that did not yet have a Gemar Din, that was mixed with other Rotzchim who did have a Gemar Din? No, then what's the Chiddush by saying Abba Chalafta Beinayan? If Abba Chalafta happened to have been a Rotzeach, who cares whether he was known b'chassiduso beforehand? If we know him to be a Rotzeach, now he's the same as every other Jew. People who are Hasidim are also Chayiv in Ritzicha if they commit Ritzicha, so it wouldn't make any sense to say Avilu Abba Chalafta Beinayim. So based on Rabbi Yossi's comment on this Machlokes, it seems clear that we must be misunderstanding the case of the machlokes. Sa'ela amar Rava, so Rava says a third interpretation of what's going on here. Hachika amar. Shnaim shayom din viyotza chetz mi b'neim v'harag. If you have two people standing there, and we see that an arrow comes from among these two people and kills somebody, but we do not know who shot the arrow, shnein peturin. They are both going to be potter. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, rotzeach shenis arev ba'acherim kulam peturin. Not that I have a known rotzeach, and then he just blended into a crowd. No, at the time of the Ritzicha, I can't identify who the Rotzeach is. He was already in the Sariv Ba'acherim, and even Rabbi Yehuda's molded to that. That is not the subject of any machlokas. It's cool that, meaning what we thought was a machlokas in our Mishnah was not a machlokas in our Mishnah. It was two different statements having nothing to do with each other. Two different statements about two different cases. It was not a machlokas. So everyone agrees that Yatzach Chetz Mi B'neihem, Kulan Peturin. And it's on that, Va'amar Rabbi Yossi, that's where Rabbi Yossi adds in the Braisa, Afilu Abba Chalafta B'neihem. Even if one of those two people who were standing there where the arrow came from was Abba Chalafta, who we are pretty confident is not the one that shot the arrow to kill somebody because he's a known chassid and he wouldn't do that. Nevertheless, we don't know for sure that it was the other guy, and therefore you cannot convict the other guy of murder if you don't know for sure that it was him. Tosis points out in Dibra Maskel B'Shar, Tosis points out that if it were oxen, that one of, you know, there were a group of oxen and one of them had killed, and one of them was muchsak to be a nogeach. We are tola that that's the one that killed, and we will give skila to that one. Meaning, when it comes to people, so you have one horrible guy and one big tzaddik standing next to each other, and an arrow comes from between them. We don't know who's the one that shot the arrow. We cannot convict the terrible person and say that it must have been him and not the tzaddik. But when it comes to oxen, Tosel says that we will go with the chazaka, that if one of them was muchzak as a nagchan, we're going to assume that's the one that probably did it. But that is statement number one of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah continues, a totally different case. Shar shenigmar dino, you have a shar that killed somebody and then had a gemar din for skila, shenis arev b'shvarin acherim ma'alia, that got mixed in with other oxen that are really good oxen that never killed anybody. So soklin osan, we give skila to all of them because they're all asr bahana'a misafek, and the bailim doesn't lose out at all. So we give them all skila in order to fulfill the mitzvah of skila with the shar that's mechuyiv in skila. But Rabbi Yehuda omer konsonos on the kippah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're not going to give them all skila. We're konsonos on the kippah. We put them all into a jail and don't feed them and they're going to die bera'av. So the second case in the Mishnah is a case of oxen that are mixed together, and of course we're going to kill all of them. The question is, how do we kill all of them? That the Tanna Kamma says they all get skila, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we don't do skila, we're kotsanos on the kippa, and they die of starvation. Now, the way Rashi understands that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says not to give them skila is the way Rashi says is because shein tsarich lesoklan shalola hatriach beizdin. Because why would we be matriach beizdin to give them skila? Skila is a big deal. It takes a lot of effort. There's no need to do that. You could just put them into a tiny little room. So Rav Shach in the Avi Ezri in Hilchos Machal Suras Perek Dalet Allah Chav Bey says, what do you mean? Shalola triach is based in. The din of a skila for a shor that killed the person is a mitzvah asei min haTorah. So whenever you have a suffix about a mitzvah asei min haTorah, I don't know which of these oxen I have a mitzvah asei min haTorah to give skila to. So that's what we say, suffix daraisa l'chumra. We don't say, oh, but you know, it's such a hassle to do the suffix daraisa l'chumra. No, that's the din. The din is suffix daraisa l'chumra. What kind of shalola triach? So some suggest that really min hadin, the shor that had a gemar din should be batel in rove of the other oxen that are mutter. When the gemar in Zvachim Dafayin Gimel says that bali chayim are chashuvim and are not batel berov, that's only a din midrabanan. So it's not really a suffik daraisa, because midoraisa, I mean, you don't have a suffik on a mitzvah daraisa. Midoraisa, the shor is already batel berov. So midoraisa, you have no mitzvah to give them skila. It's only midrabanan that it's not batel, and therefore midrabanan, there's still a shor, there's still a suffik mitzvah drabanan of skila. So when it's a suffing mitzvah drabanan, that they're not going to be so machmir about. The mashmos of Rashi, that the reason for Rabbi Yehuda telling us to be kontum l'kipa is because you have to kill all of them, and because we don't want to come to an isra, to a takala an isra na'a, and the achnasa l'kipa is just the. Is just the simplest way to do that. So it doesn't sound that way from Tosfos, because Tosfos raises the question on Reish Lakish's answer, why do we put the Shvarim into the Kippah and we cause them Tzar Balei Chaim, an excessive amount of Tzar Balei Chaim, and also it's going to ruin your Kippah, whatever little room you're putting them into, it's going to be a mess afterwards. Wouldn't it just be easier to kill them more directly? And Tosfos says that the reason is so that you don't come to a mistake to think that when you have such a mixture of men, of people, of humans, who one of them is a killer and the others are not, that the din would be the same. But l'chora, that teretz works better according to Reish Lakish. So we're talking about a shor that didn't have a gemar din, that was mixed with other shvarim that did have a gemar din. So then you might make a mistake and be chayv misa for people. But if it's people that are mixed in where they're all pater, l'chora it's pashut that they're all pater. But be that as it may, it doesn't sound like from Tosfos that it's a bigger tircha to give skila. Sounds from Tosfos the biggest tircha is to put them in the kippah, because it will involve feeding them and watching them starve and waiting for that. So that sounds like the bigger tircha. Okay, but that's at least how Rashi learns our case. So again, so we have three approaches into what the case in our Mishnah is. Approach number one was Amar Rabbi Yehoshua Amar Shmuel, that was talking about a case of a rotzeach that did not have a gemar din, that was mixed with other rotzchim that did have a gemar din, and the Rabbanan said kulam peturim, because you cannot do a gemar din on the one that didn't have it yet, because it's not befanav. And whereas Rabbi Yehuda said that they're all rotzchim, so you could be konsumos of the kippah. The second answer was Reish Lakish, that the case was a mixture of oxen, that the Rabbanan say kamisa bailan kach misa sashar. Had it been a mixture of people, we would have to say potter, and therefore a mixture of oxen, we say potter as well. And Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, konsumos on the kippah. And then the third approach is that of Rava, that it's two different statements in the Mishnah. The first statement is that from among two people, an arrow was shot and killed somebody, so everyone agrees they're both potter. But a second case where you have a shor that had a gemar din mixed with other perfectly good shvarim that never did anything wrong. So Tanakama says skila for all of them, and Rabbi Yehuda says konsan osan l'kipa. So the Gemara says, you know what? That chilik that we made, that machlokas that we just discussed of a shor that had a gemar din that's mixed in with other shvarim, do you give them all skila or are you konsan osan l'kipa? That actually expresses itself explicitly in a brisa. V'atanya, we have a brisa explicitly. Para she'imisa, if you have a para that killed the person, v'achar kach yolda, and then the para gave birth. So the din of the para is that it gets skilo, but what about the vlad of the para? So that depends. Im ad shelo nigmar dina yolda vlad mutter. If it gave birth before it had a gemar din, then the vlad is going to be mutter ba'ana. The vlad does not have the same din as the mother. But im isha nigmar dina yolda, but if the vlad came out after the gemar din, so then vlad asur, the vlad is asur ba'ana, just like the mother is. Nisariv ba'acherim, and if that vlad, which is asur ba'ana, gets mixed in with other vlados, with other baby cows, with other calves that are totally mutter, va'acherim ba'acherim, and then that taroves, a small portion of that taroves, gets mixed in another taroves, so then kontzenos son the kippah, we put them all into the kippah, we put them all into a narrow space where they're going to die of starvation. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, mevinos on the basin of Sokhlasan. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, we give them all skila in order to fulfill the mitzvah skila with the one vlad that needs the skila. So you see that the Tanakama of the Brisa disagrees with the Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon in the very same machlokas that the Chamen Rabbi Yehuda disagree about in our Mishnah, at least the way Rava understood the Mishnah. So again, the way Rava understood the Mishnah is that we're talking about a case of a bunch of innocent oxen that get mixed in with an ox that's chayiv skila, and we had a machlokas in the Mishnah whether you do skila for all of them, or you're counting us on the kippah. And here in the Braisa, we have a case of a vlad of a shor in this skull, which also is aser bana and also is going to require skila, and it gets mixed in with others. So you have this machlokas in the Braisa. Do we give skila to all of them, or we counting us on the kippah? It's the exact same machlokas, just expressing itself on a vlad that's chayiv skila rather than the original animal that did the killing. Now, one of the things we mentioned, though, in this brisa is that even if that vlad not only gets mixed in with others, but then some of that mixture gets mixed in another mixture of innocent vlados. So that's how Tosos and the Adrama understand that what the brisa is describing is a svek sveka, that any behema you're going to look at is a svek sveka, because you have a suffix if you take one animal from this new mixture, and you have a suffix whether this was part of the original mixture, and even if it was part of the original mixture, I don't know if it was the one in the original mixture. I don't know if it was the one that was chayiv skila in the original mixture. So the din is that svek sveka is mutter, and that's but the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in Zvachim is that svek sveka is aser. So it must be, says Tosos and says the Adrama, that this brisa is assuming like sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, because why would you say that you're still going to either give it skila or konsonos on the kippah if every animal is a svek sveka? If every animal is a svek sveka, so how could it be that you're going to kill it? So it must be that we're assuming like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that svek sveka on a daraisa is still aser, that even a svek sveka is aser. Then Tosa says that no, maybe acheros ba'acheros does not mean what we think it means. Maybe it doesn't mean that you have this one ox, let's say, gets mixed in with nine other oxen. So now you have a group of 10 oxen. Now, from that group of 10 oxen, five of them go and get mixed in with 100 other oxen or something like that. And then now you have a new tarov. Maybe that's not what it means. That taka would be a svek sveka. Maybe it means from that 10 oxen, all 10 get mixed in with a larger group, with another 10. So now you have 20 oxen, one of whom is chayiv skila. That the entire original taroves gets mixed in another group, which is of animals. In such a case, that's not a svek sveka. That's only one suffek. Every animal you take might be the animal, right? It's not two svekos. That which the Tana has to tell us in that case, that it's also as well, is because one might have thought that you have a different principle at play, and that's called trei rubi, that you have a double rove, the rove of the original group and the rove of the second group connected the miut of the shor niskal. So the chacham are not machmir to mafkia the din of bittul barov, which min haTorah everything is bittul barov. It's just bali chayim are chashuv min arayim b'telim. So that's the hava mina that would make it mutter, that acherim ba'acherim would make it mutter, because you have a trei rubi, and trei rubi maybe is enough to say that we're not going to carry out this punishment. So that's what it's telling us. Yes, we do. We still either are konsonos on the kippah or we do the skila. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Amar Mar, let's analyze this brisa a little more closely. This brisa about the vlad of a shor niskal. What did the brisa say? Im atshelon nigmar dina yolda vlada mutter. If it gave birth before the Gemara din, the vlad is going to be mutter. So it sounds like, regardless of when it was conceived, meaning even if it was conceived prior to the negicha, that the animal, the mom, was pregnant with this baby at the time that the mother committed this murder of a human being, and we're still going to say the vlad is going to be mutter because the vlad was born before the Gemara din. Is that true? Even if at the time that it did the negicha, the mother was pregnant and the vlad was part of it. Vama Rava, didn't Rava teach us vlad onogachas, the vlad of a behema that is nogeach and kills a person, even in a case where you cannot be done them the skila, like it was nogeach al pi erechot, so you cannot be done the shor to skila because you don't have two edim on about it, but nevertheless it's still going to be aser bana. So aser, the vlad is still going to be aser to be brought on the mizbeach. He uvlada nagchu, because if the mother was pregnant at the time that it did the negicha, it was the mother and the vlad teaming up on the negicha. Vlad on your ba'as, if you have a vlad of a behema that was nirva by a person that was part of an act of bestiality that a person committed with it, so aser, that animal is going to be aser to be used as a carbon on the mizbech. Why? He uvlada nirbu. Both it and its vlad were nirba. They were both part of it. So you see that according to Rava, when you have two edim and a vlad anugacha, the vlad anugachas should be usher because it's a part of the shara niskal. And even if it was born before the gemar din, that's irrelevant. At the time of the crime, it was part of the mother, and therefore it should be included in the skila. Now, why is it that we say he uvlada nirbu? So the gemar in Tumur, the Flaminam Bay says it's because of Uber Yerachimo, that the Uber is considered part of one of the limbs of the mother. So just like the leg of the behema that's Nogeach or that's Rova'as is Asura, so the Vlad of the mother that's Nogeach or Rova'as is Asura. It's just like any other limb of the animal, and therefore the whole thing is going to be Asura, and that's what Tosos says over here as well, and the Adrama as well. However, Tosos and Baba Kama Daf Mem Zayin says a different explanation, that the Uber becomes Asur because it also got Hana'a from the Revia, and therefore it has a din like a Behema HaRova'as, even if it's not Uber Yerech Imo. That's how the Ran says as well, that the Vlad of an Ogachas is Asur because it helped in the Revia, because the extra weight that the animal had, I guess, helped push to make the Negicha a more powerful Negicha. And therefore, since it was part of the action, even if you're not going to generally say Uber Yerech Imo, that's what Tosfos Baba Kama says. But Pashtus is like Tosfos says over here, that it's just all part of the concept of Uber Yerech Imo. But anyway, in the broader picture over here, the Gemara is asking, how can you tell me that it's irrelevant whether the mother was pregnant at the time of the crime or not, as long as the Vlad was born before the Gemara Din, the Vlad is off the hook? That shouldn't be true. If the Vlad was inside the mother at the time of the crime, the Vlad should be part of the punishment. So what you have to say is that Im Ad Shelo Nigmar Dina, Ibra Vyalda Vlada Mutter, that if prior to the Gemar Din it became pregnant and gave birth, the Vlad is going to be Mutter. Vimishinigmardina Ibra Vyalda Vlada Asur. And if after the Gemar Din it first became pregnant and gave birth, then the Vlad is going to be Asur. Meaning the point is that that at the time that the crime was committed, that the animal had killed somebody, there was no fetus. The animal wasn't pregnant. So for sure we're not applying Ubar Yerachimo and therefore it's part of the punishment. No, so if in that window between the crime and the Gemar Din, it went through an entire pregnancy, an entire gestational period, an entire pregnancy and birth, so the Vlad's got nothing to do with anything. It wasn't part of the crime and it wasn't part of the Gemar Din. So the Vlad is going to be totally mutter. But if after the Gemar Din the mother cow became pregnant and gave birth, so the mother was already Asur Ba'anah, so its Vlad is also going to be Asur Ba'anah because it's an offspring of that which is Asur Ba'anah. It was generated, it was created by that which is Asur Ba'anah. Not clear that the Vlad would get Skila in that case. It would definitely be Asur Ba'anah, the mother's Chayiv Skila. I don't know, we definitely have a din of Hayotzi Mina Asur Asur. That which emerges from something that's Asur is also Asur. I don't know if we have a din, Hayotzi Mina Chayiv Skila is Chayiv Skila, right? Meaning that the mother's Chayiv Skila, I don't know necessarily that the Vlad's going to be Chayiv Skila as well, but at least that the Vlad would be Asur, that's certainly true. So says Gemara, well, Hanich L'man Yomer Zevzeh Gorim Asur. This works very well according to the Shita that holds that, you know, every Vlad has a mother and a father. There's a Zachar and a Nekeva. So what if Mom is a Shor HaNiskal, but Dad is a perfectly normal bull? Nothing, he never did anything wrong. So if you assume Zevzeh Gorim Asur, that when there are two causes to the existence of something, that thing becomes Asur, takes on the more strict characteristic of the mom and not of the father. So then I get why it is that if after the Gemar Din the para becomes pregnant and gives birth, the Vlad's going to be Asur Ba'anah as well, even though Dad never did anything, but its mom is Asur Ba'anah. Elamandiyam Zev Zagori Mutter. But if you hold like the Shita, that Zev Zagorim is Mutter, so Ma'ikal Meimar, how you can explain the Braisa? If after the Gemar Din, the whole Yetziras HaVlad happened, even though the mother's Asur Ba'anah, the father's not Asur Ba'anah, and the father was just as much a cause as the mother is, so why, for this Vlad? So why half the genetic material comes from the father? So why should the Vlad be Asur? Tosfos points out that it's not only Zev Zagorim that L'chora should play a role over here. There's another sugya in Shas that you would imagine should also play a role over here, and that is the sugi in Chulin Daf Ayin Tes. There's a discussion in Chulin Daf Ayin Tes, choshin lezara'av or ein choshin lezara'av. Zevze gorim could be, it doesn't have to be about animals giving birth, or zevze gorim could be like we have in Maseches Pesachim. You have an oven that's mutter, and it's being fueled by wood that's aserbana, that's avodah zara wood or something like that, and you bake bread with that. So that's zevze gorim, the oven maintaining the heat and the wood creating the heat. So that would be zevze gorim. It doesn't have to be, but there's a more direct sugya of choshen lezara'av. Choshen lezara'av is, am I concerned about who the father is? So where does that come up? That comes up in the halachas of kilei behema. Let's say you have a mule. Mom is a horse and dad is a donkey. So are we choshish lezara'av? And do we say it is therefore a half horse, half donkey, and therefore you can mate it with another mule where even if mom is a donkey and dad is a horse, because that meaning the opposite, you know, in terms of its lineage, because choshen lezara'av, they're both half-half, and if they're both half-half, they're both the same thing. But if you're not choshish lezara'av, then when mom is a donkey and dad is a horse, it's a donkey. And when mom is a horse and dad is a donkey, it's a horse. And even though they both look like mules, you cannot mate them with one another. So that's where it comes up in Chulin about choshen lezara'av. So Tosfos points out that you have to say that which the Gemara says, that which the Gemara is worried over here about Zevza Goreim is assuming like the Shita that we are Choshesh Lezara'av. Otherwise, the Av is not even called a Goreim. I mean, you only get off the ground to start discussing Zevza Goreim if you hold that the father counts. So what does it mean the father counts? Choshesh Lezara'av. So we have to be working with the assumption that we're Choshesh Lezara'av to even discuss Zevza Goreim. Otherwise, it would only be one Goreim. It would only be the mother being the Goreim. Alternatively, Tosa says, it could be that they're not arguing about Choshen Lezara'av, that the whole machlokas, rather, about Choshen Lezara'av is only when the mother and the father are both mutter. But when one of them is mutter and the other one is aser, then for sure we say Choshen Lezara'av, and therefore it does trigger the discussion of Zev Zegorin. That meaning when you have a horse and a mule, nothing wrong with being a horse, donkey, nothing wrong with being a horse, nothing wrong with being a donkey. They're both totally mutter. So then the question is, are we choshish lezara'av? But when you have such diversity in halacha, that one of them is an iser and the other one is a heter, then we're for sure going to be choshish lezara'av, and therefore that triggers the discussion of zev zegorim mutter, zev zegorim aser. So again, the Gemara's question is, if you hold zev zegorim is mutter, so ma'ikel meimar, how can you say that if the shara niskal became pregnant and had the baby after the Gemara did, that the baby's going to be aser, the baby also had a father, and the father was a gorim, the father was mutter. So Ella Amar Ravina, Ema. So Ravina says, no, we got to say the brisa over a little bit differently, and it goes like this: Im ad shelo nigmar dina, if prior to the Gemara din, Ibra v'yolda, prior to the Gemara din, after it already did the negicha, it became pregnant and gave birth. So vlad de mutter, the vlad is going to be mutter, because the vlad was not involved at the time of the crime, wasn't yet conceived, and at the time of the Gemara din, the vlad was already out, it was already independent. Vim ad shelo nigmar dina ibra. But if it had become pregnant prior to the Gemara din, and then there was a Gemara din that it's going to be chayv skila, umishinig gemar dina yelda, and then after the Gemara din it gave birth, then vlada aser. Why? Because ubar yerechimo. Because we assume that the Gemara din was on the ubar as well, since the ubar was one of the evarim of the mother at that time. So the Gemara din was on the ubar together with the mother. So that is that's the end of the discussion about a vlad of a sharaniskal. Now, we know that there's a rule that if you're ever going to punish somebody in Beis Din, there needs to be hasra'a, there needs to be a kabbalah of the hasra'a, and hasra'a has to identify that if you do this this crime, you're going to receive this onesh. So the Gemara discusses, do we assume that musul davar chamor av musul davar kal, that if you warn someone for a more severe onesh, that included in that is the less severe onesh. So the Mishnah said, kol chayav emisos, that if you have different different chayav misos that get mixed in with each other. A bunch of guys that are all on death row, but for different chayav, for one is chayav skila, the other is sreifa, herik, and they all get mixed in. So nidonim bekala, we give them all the least severe of all the possibilities of all the misos. So the Gemara is medayik shema mina musar davar chamer musar davar kal. That seems to indicate to us that if you received a hasra for a davar chamer, included in that is a davar klal. Otherwise, how could we be done all of them with the misa kala? Those who are chayiv the misa chamura were never warned for the misa kala. People who are chayiv skila were never warned about chenek. So how can you give them chenek? So it must be if you say lo musul davar kal, we should pater all of them misafek. So it must be, you see from here, musul davar chamer, musul davar kal, and the reason and the misa kala is included in the misa chamura. Now Tosas raises the question that even if musul davar chamer is not musul davar kal, shouldn't we be able to kill them anyway? Because we had a gemara back on daf mem hey that imiya to yachal amisa misa ksuvba to misa bekal misa shati yachal. Then we have a gemara that said that if someone is chayiv misa and for whatever reason you can't carry out that misa, you're not able to do that misa, so kill him with something else. Kill him in whatever way you can kill him. So regardless of musul davar chamer or musul davar kal, if someone is chayiv skila and for whatever reason I can't do skila over here, the reason is because he's mixed in with other people and I don't know which one is chayiv skila. So atam misa b'kol misa shati yachla misa has nothing to do with musul davar chamer and musul davar kal. It's a strong kasha. So Tosa says that it could be that din of Atamisa Bakamis Shatiyakala Miso is only by murderers. It doesn't apply to others. Because the Riboy in the Pasuk that teaches us that is Dafka by murderers. It could be part of the din of Biata Ramikabecha, is that when you have a murderer, you need to take care of that. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about all different types of misos. Alternatively, Tosfos says, maybe that din only applies if the guy ran away and he's not being Makabal the Onesh Beis Din. But if a guy's standing right there and he's saying, I'm ready to be Makabal, whatever you give me, and we just don't know what to give him, so then we can't say, okay, so we'll just shoot you in the head. I mean, if a guy's running away and he's running away from death row and I see I have a clean shot, so then I take my shot, you know, to kill him. But if a guy's standing right there, we're not going to say that they can kill him with whatever misa you want. Okay, so again, the Gemara says, don't you see a raya from here that a Muslim davar chamer, a Muslim davar kal? Gemara says, no raya at all. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, really, I'll tell you, Muslim davar chamer is not Muslim davar kal. Over here we're talking about a case where the hasra'ah was non-specific. It was a hasra'ah that was given stam. Chidush Aran points out, according to this, that a hasra'ah stam is a hasra'ah, so certainly if you gave him the hasra'ah for the misa chamura, it would be a hasra'ah for the misa kala as well. Because when it says hachma yaskin and kon shisru bo stam, it's lav dafka, meaning it's saying that if stam hasra'ah works, so a specific hasra'ah for a davar chamur should work also. Then the Chiddush Aran says, no, the whole point of the Gemara is saying that we don't have a proof musul davar chamur of musul davar kal. A stam hasra'ah is better than the wrong hasra'ah. When you give hasra'ah for a davar chamur, it could be the guy doesn't take you seriously. You say, don't do that or you're going to get skila. He's going, I'm not doing something that's anywhere near skila. I'm doing something that, so he doesn't take the whole hasra'ah seriously. But if you give him a stam hasra'ah, don't do that because you're going to get chiv misa. So then, and it is something that you taka chayiv misa for. He doesn't say what kind of misa. Maybe that taka is a good asra'a. V'hai tanahu, and it's assuming like the following tana that says that it's a good asra'a. Ditanya, we have a brisa. Ushar chayiv misa shabatora ein misnosan ela be'eda ve'edim v'asra'a. Outside of a mesis, where a mesis doesn't require asra'a, we don't have any rachmanos on a mesis, all other misos in the Torah, you need an Eda, which means 23 Dayanim on the Sanhedrin. You need Edim against him, and you need Asra, Va'ad Shiodi'uhu, Shulchayv Mises Beis Din. And Tanakam says, and part of that Asra is you have to let him know that this is a Chiv Mises Beis Din. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ad Shiodi'uhu, Be'eza Misu Hunera. Rabbi Yehuda says, not enough. You need to tell him not just that he's Chayv Mises Beis Din, but which Mises Beis Din he's going to be killed with. So Tanakama Yalef Mimakoshesh, the Tanakama holds that you don't need to be specific. You could just say Chayiv Misas Beis Din learns it from the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh, they obviously never told him which Misa he's going to get because they didn't know which Misa he was going to get. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mekoshesh Haral Shah Haisa. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need to give a specific Misa how can we give them a kosher shmisa even though they never told them which shmisa he's going to get? That was Harasha that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cannot learn from there to later generations. The Adrama understands Harasha means that that was the proper psak for that moment that he's chayiv misa, even though they didn't tell him which misa it was, because there was no way for them to tell him at the time of the Asra which misa it was. But now that the onesh of every avera was known, meaning it developed historically, that initially when we didn't know the misa for every avera, so then obviously the halacha was that you didn't need to give the hasra of the specific misa because it was an unknown. And now that it wasn't like a special arasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu, that even though normally you have to give the specific misa in the hasra for this one time, I'll let you kill the guy anyway. No, that's not what arasha means, says Yad Ramah. Arasha means that prior to us knowing which misa matches which crime, the halacha had to be that hasra didn't have to be as specific. Once we knew which misa matches which crime, so then the halacha changed and the halacha became that the hasra had to be very specific as well. Okay, so now it says in the skull and b'nisrafin. So we said that if chayav iskila makes it with chayav isreifa, Rabbi Shimon says you give them skila because sreifa is more chamer, so skila is the ona shakal. And the chamer say, no, you give sreifa because skila is more chamer. So masne Rabbi Cheskel Rami Brei, Rabbi Cheskel was teaching this Mishnah to his son Rami, hanisrafin b'nisqalim, that if people are chayav sreifa, get mixed in with people who are chayav skila. So he had flipped it, not hanisqalim b'nisrafin, but he said hanisrafin b'nisqalim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you don't have skila, shasreifa chamura. Rabbi Shimon says, let them all get skila because sreifa is more chamur. We're supposed to give the less severe of the two onshim. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said to his father, Abba, lotis nihachi, you're saying the Mishnah backwards. You shouldn't say anisrafim b'niskalin, which makes it sound like that the majority of the people were niskalin, because if the majority were niskalin, ma'iriyah desreifa chamur. You think the reason you're going to give everybody skila is only because sreifa is more chamur? If the majority are niskalin, typically deruba niskalin inu, you would give them all skila anyway, because that's the rove, and we'd follow the rove. So Rabbi Cheskel said back to his son, elahechi isnia. So wait, how do you want me to say it? Do you want me to say it haniskalin b'nisrafim, that it's some niskalin that got mixed in with a rove of nisrafim? Well, then Rabbi Shimon Omer yidonu b'skila shasreifa chamura, and then Rabbi Shimon says that you're going to give them skila because sreifa is more chamur, and we don't follow the rove. It's just that we give them skila because that's the davar akal. Yeah, but then how do you read the chachamim ihachi ema seifa? But then you go weiter in the Mishnah and it says in the seifa v'chamomrim yidonu b'sreifa shas skila chamura, that the chum say, no, you give sreifa because skila is more chamur. But why do you have to say it's because skila is more chamur? Typically, the Rubin is Ravninu, meaning the same kasha you asked on me according to my girsa within Rabbi Shimon Shita, I can ask on you within your girsa on the Shita of the Chachamim. So Rabbi Yehuda responded, no, Hasam Rabbanu Dekamle the Rabbi Shimon, Lididach, Dam Sreifa Chamura, Lo Skila Chamura. No, and the chum said, Shaskila Chamura, that's not really the reason that they hold that you give sreifa. In this case, what they're saying is you give sreifa in this case anyway because the rove of the people are chayiv sreifa. But that which you're suggesting, that we follow the miut and not the rove because sreifa is more chamur, you're wrong. Sreifa is not more chamur. That's all the rabbanim were saying, that we hold skil is more chamur than sreifa. But that's irrelevant really over here to the final psak. The final psak in the view of the rabbanim is that we're following the rove anyway. So Shmuel, who was the Rebbe of Rav Yehuda, saw the way that Rav Yehuda was talking to his father, and he said, "Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda." So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, "Shinna, very sharp person. You're a very sharp Talmud. Lo teimel lavuchachi. That's not a way to talk to a father. That don't say haniskalim b'nisravim. Say haniskalim b'nisravim, whichever way it was. I forgot it. Don't say it in this direction. Say it in the other way. No, Tanya, hareishaya aviv over al divrei Torah. Don't you know the brisa? If you see your father violating something in the Torah, lo yomar lo. You do not tell him, Abba." Avarta al divrei Torah, Abba, you violated divrei Torah. Ela omer lo, Abba, kach ksiv b'Torah. You say, Abba, this is what it says in the Torah. So the Gemara understood that the Braisa is saying that you should say a bitmiyah. Kach ksiv b'Torah is what you're doing. Is that what it says in the Torah? Meaning, what you're doing is not what it says. Meaning, you should say it as a question. Well, frankly, Gemara sof hainu hach. Either way, you're embarrassing him when you say. Kach ksiv b'Torah, does it say in the Torah that you're supposed to be doing what, behaving like you're behaving? Ela Omerlo, what you should say is, Abra Mikra Kasub Torah Kach. You should say, Abba, let's learn together. And you open up a chumash and you say, ah, look at that. It says, lo tirtzach. And now you just murdered that guy. Right? Meaning, you don't say you. He'll figure out, ooh, I probably shouldn't have just murdered that guy if it says, lo tirtzach. That you don't tell him directly what to do. You learn together and you have him figure it out. That's the way Rashi learns his Gemara. The Rambam has a different way of learning exactly the way one is supposed to approach a father, but maybe a discussion for a different time. Okay, so. Alicia is going to give the shiur tomorrow. I'm going to be away for Shabbat Shabbat Brachos. And Alicia is going to give the shiur on Sunday because I'm going to be in Chicago. I'll also give the shiur on Sunday from Chicago, but Alicia will give this shiur on Sunday.